is Amelia Rose, and you're listening to the Everything Goes podcast. Every week, we bring you episodes and topics from A to Z, and you can always find us on all the major social media platforms. Do let us know how we're doing after you have listened. Now, have you ever been sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, I have, and I cannot begin to tell you the degree of anguish I have been experiencing over the past 30 days, just having to recount the number of mass shootings in this country. For the past 15 months, we have endured a pandemic in which over 500,000 plus individuals lost their lives to the COVID-19 virus. Many are sick and tired of not having been able to socialize with their families and friends. And there are others who are just sick and tired of having to wear a mask or social distance. And just when it seems like we are beginning to turn the corner, America has awakened to its favorite pastime, gun violence. Like many of you, I feel like I'm losing my mind sometimes over this obsession most Americans seem to have with guns and gun violence. And I feel helpless because it seems like there is nothing anyone can do to change this unhealthy love affair people seem to have with guns. So don't blame me when I have to call this episode Guns, an American Obsession. In one of my previous episodes, you might recall me talking about nations having a soul as is similar to that of a human being. And whether you are religious or not, I'm going to ask you to just bear with me for a moment as I explain the concept of a nation's soul. This will help you to understand why I have concluded that as with any social challenge in any country, it simply boils down to the people's culture and their desires. During the 5th century BC, one Greek philosopher, Plato, also ascribed to the notion that nations have souls, and that the souls were actually its people. He went on to say that those people, you and I, are driven by principles and habits manifesting themselves into our will, our reason, and our appetite, which in turn is transmitted to the nation. Consequently, you can see that the state of any nation is simply a reflection of its people. And it is then fair for me to conclude that for the most part, the American people have a healthy appetite for guns and that we do not have the will to demand the changes necessary to reduce gun violence. And finally, that our legislatures lack reason. To me, it seemed that Plato was looking down the generation at our country. And we have confirmed his declaration true to form. Let's talk a bit about some incidences of mass killings in this country due to guns. The Center for Disease Control reports that every day, approximately 316 individuals are shot in the United States of America. Of those, 106 are killed, and 9 of these are children and teens. To put this in perspective for you, that is 38,796 individuals killed annually in this country due to guns. During the quietness of the pandemic, mind you, yes, I'm talking about 2020, there were about 20,000 deaths due to guns. And that was an accumulation of about 600 mass shootings. As of April 26 this year, there has been 147 mass shootings so far and resulting in 68 deaths. If these numbers were deaths caused by a virus such as the one we are experiencing now, for sure the government would have mobilized all forces to fight this disease. But to the lobbyists and to our politicians, despite the number of lives lost every year due to gun violence, it has not risen to the level of concern for them. As a matter of fact, few people may even remember a little-known bill called the Dickey Amendment. This was a 1996 U.S. spending bill which mandated that none of the funds made available for injury prevention and control at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, these dollars should not be used to advocate or promote gun control. Yes, that, and this is your government and mine. As a result, no research has been conducted on the impact of gun violence for approximately 2 decades. Compare that, if you will, to not researching the effects of cancer or not treating cancer as a disease for 2 decades. Now, unfortunately, mass shootings are nothing new in this country and is defined as killings of 4 and more persons. Using this definition, there has been approximately 2,128 mass shootings since 2013. These exclude deaths by gun due to suicide. So what I want to do right now is just to talk about a few of the incidences that many really recall readily. For example, we had in 1999 the Columbine shootings, in which 15 high school students lost their lives. At that time, many of us thought surely the government would do something. But then Sandy Hook happened in 2012, and 20 elementary school kids plus 7 of the staff lost their lives. And true to form, your legislator and mine sent their thoughts and prayers. No, they didn't stop there. They went on to blame mental health for gun violence, something that they have continued to this day. So I want to ask you, what is it going to take to have sensible gun control laws in America? When will the religious right inform Republicans and the handful of Democrats who are too coward to lose their jobs that gun violence prevention should not be a political issue? Or when are they going to tell them that prayer without work is dead? Are elementary school children not worthy of protection from their government, the people who have taken an oath to protect? Or is it the gun lobbyists and the gun manufacturers who are the ones worthy of protection? Now, let me go on to ask a question to those who claim the right to bear arms. Do you think that your right supersedes the rights of ordinary citizens to go about their daily activities without fear that they or their loved ones will return home alive? Do you truly believe that ordinary people need assault weapons to protect them at home or to go hunting? And for God's sake, how many deer can one family eat at any one time to justify the number of assault weapons each household in this country has? Are Americans the only people who enjoy the right or should enjoy the right to own a gun for hunting? I don't think so. But after the break, let us compare the rate of homicide due to guns from a few countries where people also enjoy the right to gun ownership for the purpose of hunting. Welcome back to the Everything Goes podcast. Before the break, we were about to compare the rate of homicide by gun in 5 developed countries. And we are going to start with England and Wales. Their homicide rate due to guns is 3%. Canada, their rate is 38%. Australia has a rate of 13%. South Africa has a rate of 35%. And the United States has a whopping 73% homicide rate due to guns. So, blame all of this on too many people with guns. Too many guns, or you can blame it on both. The fact is that the United States, with its 390 million people, outnumbers most other developed countries in gun ownership, whether they are legally owned or illegally owned. Of the top 10 countries with the most guns, you will find the United States with at least 120 guns per 100 persons. Second to the United States with 25 million people is Yemen, a war-torn country with at least 54 guns per 100 persons. And rounding off the top 10 is Iceland, with a population of approximately 357,000, and you will find 32 guns per 100 persons. But regardless of your views on those who support sensible gun measures, Americans have a multiplicity of justifications why they need all the guns they have. So let's hear from a few people from countries around the world what they think about our gun violence situation. When asked their views on guns and gun violence in America, we have a 23-year-old who moved to the United States from Wales in 2016. Here is his view. "It seems funny to me," he says, "to think about a gun control landscape in my hometown, because there were literally no guns. I had never seen or held a real gun in my life, including on the police, until I went to stay with my great aunt, who lives in a farm in the middle of nowhere and holds pheasants shooting on her land. We have white men, violent video games, and mentally ill people too. We have poverty, gangs, and immigration. We have racist police. We have criminals. We have drugs. We don't have any guns. And the rate of gun violence is tiny by comparison. Being in America," he continued, "is terrifying. My life is in the hands of things I cannot control. I could get shot at any time, and there is no action I can take that will impact that. Gun control is everything." Let's move to a 30-year-old from Surrey, United Kingdom. "Like the rest of the world," he says, "US gun laws make absolutely no sense to me. But what makes even less sense are the excuses Americans seem to make to perpetuate gun culture. It is not a mental health problem," he says. "It is neither a video game issue." And let's hear from a 31-year-old male teacher from Buenos Aires, Argentina. "The United States," he says, "has a war-based identity. It's a big part of their history and their culture. But from the outside, the easy access to firearms seem widely bad. We have violence in our country too. But it's physical translation is limited by gun control laws." He said, "A mass shooting in Argentina is a failure on the system. A mass shooting in the United States is a part of the system." Now, finally, a 30-year-old from Germany. He says, "News about shootings happen over and over again in this country fill my heart with anger and sadness, but also with disbelief and disappointment in the government. I often ask myself how much you can be controlled by a lobby that hurt their own people so much." These are not my words. These are the words of young men and women from other developed countries around the world, countries where people also own guns and go hunting. Now, I choose to let you hear from a few of these young people in other countries. But in America, they are the ones who bear the brunt of gun violence. And one journalist said, "Young people alone cannot change the gun laws in America, but they can tip the balance. And as much as I am holding out hope, I doubt that very much, because the truth is, politicians don't listen to young people in this country until they turn 18 years old. And why is that, you may ask? The reason is, when young people turn 18 years old, that is when they go to the poll, and that is where their power lies. Politicians know that, and even so, they are content to give thoughts and prayers and make promises they have no intentions of keeping. If you ask me, today's politicians think only about themselves and the special interest groups who line their pockets with money. Then they go and strike fear in other constituents by spreading bold-faced lies and conspiracy theories, all the while hoping they won't know some simple truths about guns in this country. So I am going to share some of those truths for you. Take, for example, politicians would have you believe that the American people are very divided on the issue of gun control. That is the farthest thing from the truth. Surveys have shown that politicians are more divided than the American people on sensible gun control measures. Here is another fact. Americans make up 4% of the world's population, but own about 46% of the entire global stock of 857 million civilian firearms. Here's another one for you. American civilians own nearly 100 times as many firearms as the U.S. military, and nearly 400 times as many as law enforcement. Now, my head got this big when I read that. The other number for you, in April and May 2018, U.S. civilian bought 4.7 million guns, more than is stockpiled by the U.S. military. Now, if that doesn't give you cause to be concerned, no, nothing else will. Recently, our President Joe Biden instituted executive orders aimed at putting in place some common sense gun control measure. But before the ink was dried on the paper it was written on, the opposition party was already spreading rumors that the new administration was about to confiscate guns from legal gun owners around the country. Now, please tell me, what kind of leaders enjoy profiting from the pain and suffering of families of victims? For me, the president stated that this was an embarrassment to the country, but I believe it is a blood stain on the city on a hill. Finally, although surveys show that 90% of the American people want something done about gun violence, here is what I think our legislators want, or should I say, Republican legislators want. They seem to want parents of school-aged kids to continue to live in fear and pray that their kids return home safely from school every day. The legislators seem to also want people who go to church do so with a Bible in one hand and a gun in the other, all the while watching while they pray. I also believe our legislators want teachers to be armed as security guards in the classroom, all at the same time teaching. Now you figure that out. The truth of the matter, though, is that when all is said and done, we all, I should not say all, most of us want to see a change. But this change will only happen when those of us who want that change speak louder than those who don't. That is the only time the powers that be will pay attention. Let us think for a moment about one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite congressmen, Cory Booker. He said, "If America has not broken your heart, it must be that you don't love her enough." I love this country, and yes, it has broken my heart many times. But like an abused woman, I keep hoping that one day things will change for the better, except that it only seems to get worse. I think many of you listening also love America. But all I can ask at this time is that we don't give up now, that we keep hope alive. And let us do choose leaders who are committed to working for the betterment of all the people in this country, not only themselves. Don't stop calling those legislators who take money from gun lobbies organization. And for heaven's sake, stop supporting their re-election. Instead, let us join forces with those organizations advocating for sensible gun control legislation and be a part of the solution. Enough is enough. So, until next week, I want to thank you for listening to the Everything Goes podcast and ask that you do not forget to join the conversation on Facebook and leave a comment. I want to thank you again.